great future. We're talking real money.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition, another hour, another half hour, actually, of Talking Real Money. This will be the short podcast next week.
And you're going to hear me in the background singing, I got a basketball, Jones, oh, baby.
Raise the roof, baby. But yeah. We're talking real money right now. And our number is 855-935-TALK. And we only have 25 minutes.
Yeah. So if you want to get a call, get a book. Yeah, this is the time. I'm going to give the number. Because it works better when I do it, apparently. 855. There's a certain clarity to my diction that people hear better than yours. 855. And you already admitted I'm smarter. 855-935-8255. 855-9. Yeah, the guy called and said, who's smarter?
And
we both said each other.
And right, I admitted your diction was better?
No, you did not admit that.
I did not. Okay.
Call, get your question answered.
You delude yourself as you wish to be deluded.
We all delude, don't we?
We all think we're so good. Oh, we think we're so
my
special.
My article talks about that in the upcoming RIJ. Yeah.
It's Real Investing Journal.
Harsh.
Yeah. 855-935-TALK. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. And we love talking to Kathy. Who's next?
It'd be Craig.
No, it says, Craig.
My bad if I put Kathy.
I'm easily confused. Kathy is not there. We did her. Craig, you're next. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks. My question is your recommendation with 50% in total stock, which I'm moving, I'm pretty much moving my local funds all to total stock. With Vanguard, but you recommended, I'm wondering if that 50% includes the technology stocks like in the NASDAQ.
Yes.
Yeah, they're already there.
You're not buying like a NASDAQ fund, but you can't avoid technology when you own a total global hold. And by the way, you still own a ton of technology because technology makes up a huge part of the S&P 500, for example, which you have all those stocks. Okay. You definitely have exposure to tech.
As a matter of fact, just to make it clear how much technology is a part of the Vanguard Total World Stock Index Fund, of the top 10 holdings, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, Facebook.
Sound like technology?
Yeah.
You got all that. What was the other part of your question?
Well, for the I'm probably not personally going to put 50% in a world fund, but I'm 67, and so I'm looking, I want to put additional money into the bonds as soon as we recover from this correction a little bit more.
You just market time, didn't you?
Well, a little bit. I know it's going to recover.
You do? Wow.
Well, no, it will recover. He's right.
Okay.
It's always recovered in the past.
Please call us ahead of time. Call us and let us know. Yeah.
But, okay, all right. We're just going to let that one slide for now.
Okay, so you're selling stocks and you're buying bonds?
No.
I misunderstood.
Well, that's what I will do eventually. I will sell some of my
You're rebalancing.
World and put it into a bond fund.
Yep.
But I'm wondering which Vanguard bond fund would you recommend?
I would just use the Vanguard Total Bond Fund.
Total bond index.
Okay. It's 60% government. You got about 40% corporate. It's intermediate term in terms of duration, and you get it at a very low operating expense.
Now we need to come back to the big
Vanguard Total Bond question, though.
Are you with the equity portion of your portfolio going to retain a 50-50 split between U.S. and international?
I was not going to. I was going to do more like...
Why not?
Maybe 60... Oh, I just don't always trust the international market. I don't know why.
Because you're an American.
By the way...
I suppose that's
by
right.
By the way, let's take that...
It's the reason. I was in New Zealand, and the people in New Zealand, the bulk of their portfolio is in... You ever heard of the New Zealand stock market? The bulk of their money's in the New Zealand stock market.
You might not know the New Zealand stock market, but you might know the Nikkei. You've heard of the Nikkei, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and you're old enough to remember 19...
European
stocks. Yeah, well, you're old enough to remember 1990, right? What was going on in Japan where they were kind of... we were buying all their cars and they were, their management style was being put in place and they were buying everything in the United States and the Nikkei was trading way up high?
That was the 70s.
Well, okay, but it was still around... And guess what? The Nikkei is still down about a third from 1990. This is why we don't make a bet on the United States. We simply say, buy global... because we don't know what's going to be best for the next 30 years. And frankly, if you buy local, you could end up paying a big, big price. As I said, the people of Japan definitely have.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Craig. Think about it more.
Right, and Craig, don't time the market.
Please.
Just balance it based on your risk tolerance,
yep,
and then leave it alone. That is the key. Make sure it fits your tolerance and need for risk. You may not need to take a lot of risk. Make sure it works for that. Then rebalance once a year just to get back to that original balance and take all the guesswork out of it, because any attempt to predict the future is merely guesswork.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Download the advisor interview form and find out if your advisor is a fiduciary at talkingrealmoney.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
15 minutes left in this edition of Talking Real Money, the radio show that becomes a podcast next week, along with the daily podcast. So really, we have a lot of Talking Real Money for you. You can go up, go to talkingrealmoney.com, listen to the daily podcast, the weekly podcasts, all of those things, plus a lot more. You can even make an appointment to talk to one of our fine advisors like Brian.
Yes, who's
at that website, absolutely free.
Kindly come down and answer the phones today. So thank you, Brian, for that.
Is he doing all right?
No.
I didn't think
not
so.
Not doing well at all.
855-935-TALK is the number. And Elda, you're next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hi, Elda. How are you?
Hello. Good. Thank you.
Good. How can we help?
I have two questions. In the mid-90s, I invested my money to this company. And since I've been with them then, I have changed a couple of advisors. And every time they change advisors, they have to redo my portfolio planning.
Of course they do.
So my question is, I am trying to change my high-risk investment to moderate-low, and the financial planner that I talked to want to redo my portfolio again. Is that a common practice, or can I just ask them to just help me change the status of my investment from high risk to moderate low?
I need to ask you a question, though.
Sure.
Why are you changing from a riskier portfolio to a lower risk portfolio? That's that's kind of important. What are you doing it because you don't feel good about the market?
No. I have two investments. I have my 401k, and I have this money with another company that I invested, and I'm planning on retiring in about maybe 5-6 years.
Okay.
And both are always in high risk.
And so when you say,
so it's a lifestyle thing.
Okay, so when you say high risk, you mean mostly in stocks then?
Both.
Okay.
Mutual funds, stocks, Roth.
Okay, but a mutual fund just holds a variety of securities. So we got to be careful with our nomenclature here, but go ahead, Don.
Well, this is what I need to find out. You say every time you go to a new advisor, they change your portfolios, which leads me to believe that either you have a portfolio that's not very good, or you're going from broker to broker. Stock brokers like Merrill Lynch or Morgan Stanley or Ed Jones or Ameriprise or any of these big names, they will change your portfolio to generate a new commission.
Yeah, I'm in one of those ones that you mentioned.
Yeah, I figured you probably were. Now, Elda, please listen. This is really, really important. You must, if you're going to have an advisor and have a portfolio that fits your risk profile and your risk needs and is scientifically diversified, you must go to a fee-only advisor who follows a There's a scientific approach to investing that that encompasses the efficient market hypothesis and the five-factor models or four-factor models that takes risk tolerance into account. Here's what I would like you to do. Do not hire a new advisor until you go to talkingrealmoney.com. About halfway down the page, there is a link. It's a sentence that says, click here to find advisors that follow the kind of approach we believe in here on this show. Okay? Go do that. Interview them, and then you will get a portfolio that is right for you and that is not generating someone a commission. Please do that before you do anything else. A good advisor needs to talk to you about risk. A good advisor needs to talk to you about needs. A good advisor needs to lay out an income stream for you.
And a good advisory firm has a set of tools, of principles, so that you get the same experience, whether it comes to the planning, the portfolio development, from any advisor there. It doesn't matter if you get a new one, because the new one doesn't say, hey, those were really bad mutual funds, I'm going to move you to these. That's the kind of thing you see when you're not getting fiduciary advice. We just met with someone today that is at one of the, using having their money at one of the aforementioned firms, and said every time we get a new advisor, they say, sell that stuff and buy this. That is a recipe for disaster.
Why do they do that, though? See, this is the thing that people don't understand. There is a reason why they do
they
that. It's because the
commission.
Brokerage firm does not get paid. Does not. The broker doesn't make any money until they sell you something. That's why they do it. Oh, it's infuriating. And I, if I could wave a magic wand, I would put all of these suitability houses, these commissioned brokerage firms and insurance companies, I would put them all out of business and require everyone to be a 100% fiduciary, and those who say they are fiduciaries and aren't all the time are horrible human beings, in
Ain't
my opinion.
Gonna happen.
I dislike you
Not
all.
Not going to happen in your lifetime.
I know. Sure. Phyllis, you're up next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hi, Phyllis.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm an 85-year-old. I'm still working, and I have one-third of my money in Vanguard, and have 50% stocks, 50% bonds. And two-thirds of my money is outside of Vanguard, and I will be, someday, I'm being realistic, I will maybe need help in living and that kind of thing. So I will have to be taking money out.
Sure.
I will not be taking it out of Vanguard. That money is dedicated to stay in for 10 years. But the two-thirds money that I have, I'm thinking, where can I put it? Where it will be growing, but I can take it out as I need it.
Where is it now?
Well, some of it is in land, which I can sell easily. It's very good. And some of it is in TIAA Craft.
Okay.
All right. Well, you can get money out of TIAA Craft. It's hard to get money out of land. Land, you should probably start working on getting out of that land, because land is typically very illiquid.
No, I will sell one this year, one next year.
Unless it's the Everglades or something, yeah. So,
no, it would be easy.
Liquid.
Too easy. Yeah, okay. I'm trying to make sure I understand your question.
She wants to be able to access the two-thirds of the money that's in the land and TIAA Craft, but she wants a little growth from it, which I am going to make the giant leap of logic that she doesn't mind taking a little risk since she's 50-50.
Yeah.
But places where she can get at it. And, you know, Vanguard is one of those places.
Sure.
Just put it in another.
I do have an individual advisor there. Maybe I should ask him.
I would do that,
I got to tell you, you just put it in some mutual funds with Vanguard, Phyllis, and outside of the retirement accounts or whatever these longer-term accounts are, and you just designate that as money from which you're going to draw. You have some of it in very liquid securities, some in a little less liquid, and some in some growth to give you that growth component with great liquidity. I think it's really smart. We'll be back.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Do you know what your investment risk tolerance is? Take our free no-obligation risk quiz at TalkingRealMoney.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
We're running out of time quickly, but just enough to talk to Alex. Alex, welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a question about portfolio rebalancing. What do you recommend to use as a trigger? I mean, is it something that you do just periodically every year, or if something goes off balance, then you rebalance, or how does it work?
The reality is you can do either one. For our clients, we have a series of bands. So in other words, if you had a portfolio that was 60% in stocks, 40% in bonds, when the stock portion went to 65%, we would be saying sell some of the stocks and buy bonds. That doesn't always hold true, because sometimes if it's in a taxable account, we don't want to do that for reasons of, we don't want to have you make pay taxes. But that's one way. If you're doing this on your own, you could do it annually. That's fine. I mean, the problem is it doesn't work as well, because you would have sold at the end of the year, right? And the market's had a big run up since then. But there's nothing wrong with that, to sort of say, I'll do it on my birthday every year, for example.
Exactly. It just needs to become disciplined. Yeah, and that's why, you know, that's why a lot of people say on my birthday or my anniversary or the first day of summer or whatever it might be, that's going to be my rebalance day every year, like clockwork. So you don't get into, the trick is to avoid the guessing game.
Yep.
I think I'll wait until this market calms down.
Just we heard from Craig saying, yeah, I'm going to wait till the market, like, how do you know?
Feels better.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Thanks for the call.
Just pick a day, imagine in the calendar, and that's it.
I think that's
there you go.
Yeah, that'll work, sure.
For 99% of people, that's just very effective. And it just needs to be a discipline. And Alex, thanks for being a part of the show.
Yeah, and remember, rebalancing really is about reduction of risk, not making you more. It can make you more. We've showed that. But really, it's about taking from the rich and giving to the poor. Important process.
It's about maintaining your volatility, the volatility in the portfolio with which you're comfortable. You don't want to get too far out of that, or you might do something dumb. That's what we don't want you to do dumb things. We want you to do smart things. We want you to learn how this works. That's why we're here every week, trying to teach you how to do this on your own even. You don't always need advisors. You do sometimes. And that's why for 4 years now, we have put on the best retirement event I've ever seen. It's one
this
of the best
the Fire
money
Festival?
Events. The Fire Festival,
yeah, the
on
Fire
the,
Festival.
In the Bahamas. Yeah.
Oh, no, not that one. Sorry, me. That was the wrong
retire
one.
Meet.
Yeah, I know. I'm kidding.
You know, and just like index funds, people scoffed, like Tom. People are going to come to a retirement conference.
I stand by my – it still amazes me. And by the way, so for this year, which is the best group of speakers we've ever had, bar none – We've got people coming in from Washington, D.C. to talk about Social Security. We're talking about charitable giving. We've got everything around retirement. It's at Tina Hall about retirement lifestyle, all those things. It's the best we've ever had. And here's the caveat. You really, if you want to sign up, you probably have 2 weeks. It will be sold out.
Oh, yeah. You have two weeks.
We just got 80 seats left, I think, or something. So it's going
we
fast.
We just, in the last 5 minutes, sold 5 tickets.
Yeah, so it's going to go quickly. You can still get the pre-sale price, and which includes, as Don points out, a wonderful breakfast and a terrific box lunch.
And by the way, the box lunch isn't the only reason to come, other talk show host guy. It's a great education. We've worked our derrieres off
You've been in there buttering that bread for the long time.
I'll tell you what,
it's really great stuff. How do they sign up? Tell them how they won.
I don't know. I forgot now. Oh, wait, no. They go to retire, and you can check it all out at retiremeet, MEET.com, retiremeet.com. It's coming up
not
on February 16th.
Food. That's hard to
believe. It's not just about the food, but if everything else falls apart.
Oh, there's that.
You're going to go, oh, at least I got a meal.
And not just a bad cheese sandwich staying in a tent.
Yeah. It's a great event. Check it out. It's February 16th at the Meydenbauer Center, which you know is a great location. And you can get your tickets right now, but get them before the next couple of weeks. RetireMeet.com.
Tom and Don are talking real money. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately, consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestry, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures.
Are we done now?